I've known Apostle Nigel Bigpond for many, many years. There's never been a whisper of any scandal following him. He's just simply walking with God. And in simply walking with God, hundreds of lives are being impacted. And I believe that God has planted him as an apostle in the nation. And I believe that we are honored and privileged to have him speaking to us this evening. So as he's speaking, now here comes the exhortation from your apostle. As he's speaking, and when he says something that strikes you, oh, that's for me. Get to your feet right away. Rush up here and drop an offering in. Because now you're sowing into that word that he's delivering for you. And he's worthy of double honor come up twice. Listen, he's the pastor and founder at Morningstar Church of All Nations. And he's also the founder of All Tribes DC, which I was privileged to be there in Washington last year. Eleanor also. We the people, the host people, our brother is a First Nations apostle. What tribe are you? He's from the tribe of Yuchi. How honored we are to have him here. I feel very blessed. The host people are the original gatekeepers of this land. And I trust that all of you who are not First Nations will not be offended at that. It's simply what God has chosen to do. He chose to plant us in this land, and he chose to make us gatekeepers. Now, a gatekeeper has an important role. They open a door or they close the door. Tonight, our brother will open a door for us. Get ready to step in. And it's open to all of us here. He will function in his role. We must function in our role. Whew. He believes that we must come together with one heart and one mind to bring healing to our nation through the power of forgiveness and prayer. He believes that the peace and harmony is the will of our Creator, and the ultimate spiritual and natural order among all his people. I believe that. Therefore, we proclaim that his peace will create harmony, unity, and mutual respect and honor among all peoples and all nations, and every single one of you in this room right now. Receive our apostle, Nigel Bigpond.
Praise the Lord. Before I get started, I need to do a protocol. I want to plant a seed into the three that I know of the Kingdom Alliance. And I'm from the Turtle Clan. And meaning long life. Doesn't mean I'm hard-headed, but I can be. But long life. And I've been proclaiming long life. You know, some people look at death and they're getting old, and so they start looking at death and planning their funerals and all that, and whether they're going to be burned or buried or whatever. And but me, I've been proclaiming long life. I've been telling the Lord I'm going to live, telling him I'm going to be living until I'm 120 years old. And so I don't know what I'm going to look like when I get 120. I look like this way now. I don't know what I'm going to look like when I get 120. But if Robert and Eleanor and Mary would come, I would just like to plant this seed to Robert first. It's the turtle. And Eleanor, turtle, long life. So we just speak long life over Kingdom Destiny Network as well. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to last a long time and go a long ways. Thank you so much. Oh, that's fine. But that's our protocol. We do that. I do that everywhere I go when I come into territories. And as I've been here many times, not many times, but been in Alaska a few times, and beautiful country, beautiful place. We went to lunch today, and then I went back to the hotel and lay down and begin to dream. The Lord's been giving me a lot of dreams lately, and I become a Jeremiah, I guess. Jeremiah is a dreamer, was a dreamer, and it's a lonely place, the dreamer or the visionary, if you will. And not to say that's a bad place, but God gives you the dream, and you got to proclaim the dream. You got to release the dream, and sometimes people just don't understand your dreams, and they kind of scratch their head. What's he talking about? But I seen Alaska in this dream as the head of everything, that Alaska will be releasing many, many things. And I just seen things kind of flowing out of the mountains, out of the lights, out of the waters ways, releasing. And what I was seeing was a time and a gift of forgiveness. The forgiveness is powerful. And so many, I know I think there's 578 tribes now in the U.S. President Trump just released, I think, 7 or 8 more tribes that they've been years and years trying to be federally recognized. And so that's historical. No other president has done that. Yeah, you need to clap your hands for that, because they've been working hard. You know, I'm from the Yuchi tribe, or Yuchi Ha, meaning the mysterious people. And they said, hey, man, you're very, very mysterious. And we tried for a little while to get our federal recognition, and we wasn't able to do it years ago, and so they just put us with the what they call the Muscogee Creek Nation of Oklahoma, out of the 5 civilized tribes. And so I had to get an understanding of mysterious. Does that mean you're a strange bird, or what's that mean, mysterious? Mysterious could mean many things, and one of my gifts, I believe, is I am a visionary. We also I'm also the founder of Two Rivers Native American Training Center in Oklahoma, where I think Chastity from the Navajo Nation came and say it loud. Alicia, yeah. I'm sorry, Alicia. They came to, and Chastity was a sergeant in our Two Rivers Native American training. It's a military training. Spiritual warfare is very military. I mean, you have to know what you're doing. You have to be a warrior, kind of like this dance. That's warring. And when I see my brother getting down and stretching, I said, oh, my Lord, I don't know if I can do that. I'm not much of a warrior because if I ever got down there, I don't know if I could get back up. But that's what that meant to me, is that warrior spirit. And so when I was dreaming about Alaska, I seen forgiveness coming out of the land. So tonight, I know many of you harbor unforgiveness. Now, when I came in here, I felt a good spirit. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we can harbor that unforgiveness. That's the reason the Lord gave me the vision of All Tribes D.C., taking tribes to Washington, D.C., where we have so much authority. And the Native people have governmental authority because we're continued to be governed by the United States of America. Whether it's reservations or tribal land, whatever, that still exists. We still have to go to Washington. And we still have to, as one chief said, he said, we used to take 7 peace pipes to D.C. And now we take 7 lawyers to D.C. And so, and that's understandable. But the thing is, and Mary said it, yes, we are a tribal entity. But what that creates is, if you look in this around here, you see unity of all colors, all races, coming together to worship God together. Now, that is unique. It's unique in a lot of churches. It's a uniqueness in a lot of places. It's a uniqueness on tribal lands or reservation. It's uniqueness in our educational system. So now is the time, yes, for the sleeping giant to arise and step into the battle. Not that we are the only ones can do it, but it takes that unity. God created all mankind of all colors. So tonight, I want to release in you, if I may, the true forgiveness that you carry. You carry that true forgiveness. That's the reason when it hits you, unforgiveness, it just cringes and it's pressing against the spirit. There's a spiritual battle there of holiness and unholiness. There is an unholy trio and there is a holy trio that battles. The unholy, meaning Baal, Leviathan, Ashtar, the moon god, Baal, the sun god, and Leviathan, where the spirit of confusion abides. And then, of course, there's God and Yeshua, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So we're constantly in a battle. That's the reason unforgiveness is there, and that's the reason we must establish forgiveness in our souls, in our hearts, in our families, in our nation, in our tribe. Washington, D.C. is battling forgiveness. They want to harbor unforgiveness. But this is a year where we need to redefine words. We need to redefine the words, certain words that we harbor and have. Some are old and some are new. But if we're talking about the one new man, well, the one new man has new definitions as well. We can't harbor and hang on to old definitions. And so forgiveness is a new definition. The old man in Galatians 3:27, we are further instructed to put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. According to the image of him who created him, which is God. In other words, put on Christ. Put on the Christ regalia. And what would the Christ regalia? And I love the beautiful regalia that Eleanor and those wear. And beautiful, they represent us in many places very well. And you should be proud of what they do. But we're further to put on, we need to put on that one new man that has tremendous knowledge. Paul is explaining that the water baptism is like a symbol of death and burial of our old man. Now, from a native perspective, from my perspective as a native, when the old or the elders leave, we're not weeping because they're dead. We're weeping because they crossed over to the other side. That we are left behind. And we begin to weep. Not because they have died or they're dead, but they left us behind. And any time, I don't know if you've ever been left behind as a little child, maybe. How the children would cry for their father and mother when my mother and father left me behind one time in a store. And I about went nuts because I was crying, looking for mama, looking for daddy. Because I wanted to be with them. I felt there was fear in me. So when the elders leave, I believe there is a certain amount of fear in us because they have crossed over. In our language, we would say Weili. They have crossed over to the other side of the river. They're still there. My dad is still here. You're seeing my dad. I'm a fourth generation minister. You're seeing my great grandfather. My great grandfather was the first, very first deputy, native deputy or police force, if you will. In that day and time, he was the first in Oklahoma Indian Territory. And he had a shootout. I don't know if you ever heard of Bell Star. Bell Star had a gang, and they robbed banks and all that stuff. And there's a museum there in Oklahoma, and it has my grandfather in there, Samuel Cooper. And it has a news article where he had a shootout with Bell Star. My aunt went down there and seen that. She got all angry and mad at the museum for putting that in there. I said, what are you mad about? Well, they shouldn't have done that and told it that he had a shootout with Bell Star. I said, Bell Star was a robber. And he was a sheriff or a deputy
sheriff.
That is an honor. She didn't understand that. I had to explain it to her. And so it is said, and he was a Methodist minister, of all things. And, you know, in those days, they wore those long coats way down there. Suit coats, I guess what you call them. And he had a handlebar. I don't know how he grew that. I can't. When I try to grow a mustache, it looked like a walrus. It just shoots out there like that. But he had one and looked very good, and big old hat on. And he, of course, he wore a six gun. And when he'd come to church, in those days, you had church 2 or 3 days. It wasn't a 45-minute ceremony like it is nowadays, or 2 hours. But in those days, when they went to church, they traveled. And you wouldn't go. It's like, you know, you travel for half a day to get to church, and you're going to listen to a 45-minute sermonette? I don't think so. That don't go well. And so they would stay all day and all night and have church. And my great-grandfather would either ride a horse or a horse and buggy, and he'd get out. And he began to preach, and in those days, you know, they would pound the pulpit and everything else, the Bible thumpers, and they would just getting at it and shouting and screaming and hollering. And, you know, in those days, they didn't meet sound systems. They were the sound system. And then he'd have his altar call, and he'd pull back that long coat. And there was that, he would forget to put his gun up. And there was that long six gun. And he would say, you never know when you're going to die. So you need to get right with the Lord. And so, of course, they come running to the altar. Because he was known to shoot that thing. So I'm a part of that. I'm a part of that great-grandfather. I'm a part of my grandfather. I'm a part of my father. And my son is a part of me, and his son is a part of him. So we never die, people. I don't know why we allow that to destroy our joy. I'm happy to stand up here and be a part of Roy J. Big Pond, my father. And you say, well, what's that got to do with forgiveness? Well, it's that it's the old man putting on the new man. The old man, yes, has left, and now the new man. I'm a part of that new man. So old is not wrong. Old is good, because my father gave me his understanding. His father gave him his understanding. I gave my son understanding. My son is giving his son understanding. So old is not old. Old is good. If you ever, and I'm sure you have a lot of trees around here, and there's a lot of, if you could be able to look at the root system grows, it probably goes bigger than the tree down underneath, because it's always hunting for water, new soil, richer soil, new life. It's because the tree's purpose is to live, to grow, to look beautiful. Now, I want to read here in Matthew 24, if I may, the 32nd verse. It says, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get together or get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away long life. This generation has long life. You need to begin to speak long life into your bodies, into your mind, into your spirit, into your children, your grandchildren. Long life. Long life. You have long life. And that's what these turtles mean. Long life. How many wants long life? I don't want short life. I'm 68 years old, I think. Or will be in November. I want long life. I want to be able to think. I want this body to have long life. To live a long time. Because I got a lot to do. Look at someone and say, you got a lot to do. You got a lot to do. So don't be thinking about going away. Long life. This generation will not pass away until all these things, until, everybody say until, all these things happen. So we're going to have to begin to speak long lives. When we must speak forgiveness. We have to forgive ourselves. A lot of people can't forgive because they haven't forgiven themselves for the things that maybe they've done or the things that they allowed to happen to them or the things that they've been through. Jesus called in Matthew 15:10 a crowd to him and said, listen and understand, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. It's what comes out of his mouth that makes him unclean. So we can take a lot of things in. A lot of things happen to us. But we don't have to release that. That's when it becomes unclean. So you may have been through a lot. You may have seen a lot. But that doesn't mean that you're unclean. That doesn't mean that you have to give up. We don't understand forgiveness because you don't have the fullness of forgiveness. It's time to redefine forgiveness. That's the reason all tribes D.C. went to D.C. in October the 16th of 2016 and released a prayer, made a proclamation, if you will, of forgiveness. We forgave a nation that never asked for forgiveness. Now that might sound like nothing to you, may not sound anything, but you've got to realize what that means. Did they forgive? Did they ask? No. But what we did, we planted the seed. And that seed is starting to grow. And one of these days, we believe that this president, because he's just crazy enough to do it, to ask for forgiveness through the first people of the land. And the Lord showed me the prophecy of that years ago, that when that happens, where he's to look to the east, which is Israel. And this president has looked to Israel, hasn't he? We're making the capital, Jerusalem, the capital. That's already happened. And when he proclaims and releases the unforgiveness or asks for forgiveness, the hand of God will come across this nation, healing the land, healing and the world. You know, when he does that, that will go worldwide. And not one person can come against that. Not even the Democrats or the Republicans can't come against that. It's going to be massive. They're going to be huge. Forgiveness is an act of forgiving and an act of asking. The action or the process of forgiving or being forgive. They work together. Forgiveness and unforgiveness. They work together. It's an act of pardoning someone. The act of wrongdoing was a mistake. It's to forgive the offenses that took place. Now, the act of forgiveness will release punishment, yes, but it's a good punishment. See, we're reason we hold unforgiveness, we are punishing ourselves. Every day that I hold unforgiveness in my heart, I am punishing myself. And sometimes it comes out in a bad way. Sometimes it comes out in anger, in a family, with a husband, with a wife, with the children, or with people that we're around. And so we have to release that. We have to get rid of that and quit punishing yourself. Quit punishing yourself. I'm talking to some people tonight. You've been harboring that, and it's got to go. And I believe it's going to come out of Alaska. This spirit of forgiveness. It's like a cloud. I've seen a cloud. It's like the northern lights. It's bright and brilliant. And it begins to flow and move. It's like a storm that calms and calms the land. The act of excusing or pardoning someone. As leaders, you as leaders must love people. Love overcomes all things. I love me, not hate. And I'm not to be alone. We got to redefine. It's lonely to be a leader. How many know that? Visionaries, prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors. Sometimes that's a lonely trail. Because no one understands you. No one understands what you're going through. No one understands what you feel. No one understands the vision that you have. No one understands what you're trying to do in a land and with people. It's a lonely place. It's a lonely place. Because every visionary has one true visionary. Lonely. That's the reason eagles, and you should know about eagles. There's not a flock of eagles. You'll see one eagle, maybe two. Eagles. It's a lonely place. So we have to get to that point where we forgive. And the reason, and this is what we need to redefine, is that because we don't love ourselves, we can't love others. Because they depend upon you to make them successful. What's that mean? They depend upon you When people can't forgive, they depend upon others to make them feel better, to be successful. They're not like the tree. They're not willing to spread the roots. They aren't willing to love people. That has to be redefined, to love people. Because they aren't satisfied with who you are, but what they are. That has to be redefined. Forgiveness is a powerful factor. I want to say to you tonight, and I believe I can, that I have forgiven. I've forgiven myself. I forgiven my parents. You know, for a long time I held unforgiveness my parents because they sent me to boarding school, where boarding school wasn't too good. It was a bad place to me. Our language was taken away. We couldn't do certain things. Couldn't dress certain ways. Cut our hair to almost no hair. And so I had to forgive that. And I have. Before my father passed away or went to the other side, I went to him and my, you know, I wasn't a perfect teenage boy. And I went to him and I said, Dad, I want you to forgive me. And my dad was a happy man, always smiling. And he rode over to me on his side. And he smiled at me. And he said, Son, I forgive you a long time ago. You know, some people can't say that. They never went to their father and asked for forgiveness. I went to my mother. My mother was fighting cancer. And I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was looking out across the Arkansas River praying for Mama. You know, there's something about Mama and a son. I mean, that son can do nothing wrong. Now, the girls can. But that son is a perfect son. And you know, Mama said, you know, my mother would take care of me. She'd get mad at me if I didn't stop by and eat breakfast with her. And when I was in there eating, she's out in the car cleaning my windshield. Never could figure that out. Because she loved her son. And she called me. My name is Alwaday Sky Hunter, one who seeks vision. And she called me in the room. And I said, what is it, Mom? And she said, before I leave, I need to tell you something. Of course, in Tulsa, you got to have faith. I mean, the Bible Belt and all this stuff. And so I said, Mom, God's going to heal you. You're going to come out of that bed. You're going to be set free. That cancer's going to come off you. And I just begin to go, you're not going anywhere. You're going to stay here. And she began to point that finger at me. And when an elder points their finger at you, you're in trouble. She said, don't you ever tell me when I can leave or go. Which is true, you know. She deserved. She's followed God. All these years, my dad, praying for people, feeding people, helping people. She had a great reward. She said, I need to tell you this. And I said, what is it, Mom? And she said, Nenzo de Taiute. Nenzo de Taiute in the Yuchi language. And I understand Yuchi, but the women speak different than the man. And I didn't quite understand what she was saying. And she said, Nenzo de Taiyu. And I said, what's that mean? She said, well, the white man say it this way. I love you. But in our language, Nenzo de Taiyu means you're like a river that gives me life. And without you, I cannot exist. Now that's love, people. You're like a river that gives me life. And without you, I cannot exist. Man. People sing about love. They write books about love, movies about love. But they really don't know love. You're like a river that gives me life. And without you, I cannot exist. That's love. And I thought, well, why would my mother tell me she loved me? I know she loved me. But the Lord gave me the word that she really meant. What she really meant is you seeing your father and I minister, take care of people, feed people, pray for people, preach, teach, do all these things. And if you don't do what we taught you to do, then we never existed. It's like Jesus when he was ascending to the disciples. You've seen me heal the sick, the blind, the lame, raise the dead, all these things. And if you don't do what I've taught you to do, Yeshua, Jesus, never walked upon the face of this earth. You are the Jesus. That's the reason he said, you're going to do greater things than I ever done. I'm talking to somebody. Greater things. You're going to do greater things. Nenzo de Taiyut. I said that in a church, and I tried to find me an elder woman, a safe. And I got on my knees, and I said, you're like a river that gives me life, and without you, I cannot exist. And all of a sudden, that woman started getting up and coming towards me. I said, listen, I'm married. I was just saying that to you. I already got a wife. Thank you very much. Because that's beautiful, isn't it? Can you imagine? I had a pastor and his wife. I had the pastor say that to his wife. And they just begin to bawl like babies. Because all of a sudden he began to say it. And it started meaning something to him. You're like a river that gives me life. And without you, I can't exist. You understand what that means? Can you imagine the money you could have saved instead of buying all the stuff for your wife? If all you had to do is kneel down in front of her and that, you had her. That's it. That'll work, won't it, brother? That'll work. You're like a river that gives me life, and without you, I can't exist. So that, in a sense, is forgiveness. You know, in essence, my mother was saying, son, we did the best for you. And I want to give you new forgiveness. In other words, she was saying, I want to give you a new year with new understanding from the old ways, from an old mother and an old father. I want you to put on a new man with new knowledge. I want new roots to go deep to new places. Let new things happen in your life. God's plans, not your plans. Redefine your love first by serving. Understand why people can't forgive. Comfort with yourself with understanding of weakness. That's what she was saying. That's what she was giving me. We forgive a nation that didn't ask for forgiveness. This was a plan of God. We planted a seed. And in that seed is tremendous things. For a tremendous purpose. Now, I want to, real quickly, talk about the power of forgiveness, because there's a lot of power in what I'm talking about tonight. The power of forgiveness, Micah 7:18 says, who is a God like you, who forgives iniquity and passes over transgression of remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy, loving kindness. Now that'll preach. That'll preach. That is love. That is true love. That is a man to a woman to a man. That is true love. He again will have compassion on us. He will subdue and tread underfoot our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Depths of the sea. All your sins are forgiven. All those weaknesses are forgiven. There's nothing like forgiveness. The grace. There's grace in forgiveness. The power of forgiveness, it unlocks the power of God's miracles. How many needs a miracle tonight? It unlocks that. It brings forth more perfect union, unity together. It brings us into our kingdom inheritance. People, it's time. It's time to get past that just being born again. Yes, we're born again. Praise God, we're born again. Now it's time to step into the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's time to step over Way Lee into that other side. The kingdom of God is at hand. Way Lee. Everybody say Way Lee. Step over to the other side. Get out of this place of always asking for forgiveness. Oh, forgive me for I did this, I did that. God, forgive me. Please forgive me. Forgive me. Let's step into the kingdom of God. That's where the warriors hang out. That's where the warriors hang out. That's where they do that dance like my brother was doing. I can't do it, but he was doing it. That's where you get those dances. If you really want to dance, that's where the warriors hang out. It releases you into greater healing. We can't receive our healing and hang on to it. Why? Because unforgiveness, the power of forgiveness. If I need to be healed, and there's a lot of times I need to be healed, I hit my knees and ask God, forgive. If there's anything in this body, if there's anything in this mind, there's anything in the spirit, forgive me. If I miss something, Lord, forgive me. Because I'm a kingdom warrior. I can't stay here. I can't live here. I can't abide here. I got to move on because I'm a kingdom warrior. God's got an army marching through this land. Kingdom warriors. These are the ones that carry the Issachar anointing. The Issachar anointing is those that know when God knows. They know. They don't listen to CNN or Fox News to get their prayer assignments. They already have their assignment because they listen to God. They know when God is going to do something. They know when God is going to move, when the Spirit of the Lord is moving. I'm talking to somebody tonight. I'm talking to somebody when the Spirit of the Lord, you know when it's moving. Whether it's dreams or visions or whatever, you know what God is about to do. The power of forgiveness releases you into your God-given authority. That's the reason the First Nation people have to step into their place. That's the reason the giant has to wake up. Because they have to step into their place. We owe you an apology for hanging out too long. For not joining you in this fight. And now it's time for us to step into the fight. Step into the battle. Step into the war. Where we can all come in unity. We can all be together as one body, as one people under God, one nation under God. We are all tribes can come together as one. That's the reason it's so important that we take our rightful place. And we ask for forgiveness for taking so long for the giant to wake up. You know, Billy Graham also said in that we would be great evangelists. There would be an evangelistic spirit come upon us. Then he had the audacity at the very last to say that you will be a superpower. Man, when I heard that, that knocked me down. A superpower, the only superpower I ever heard of was the United States of America and Russia. And he has the audacity. God tells him to tell these native people that you're going to be a superpower. My God. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. And I think it's not because we're just native people, but because we're joining in unity. When you have unity, you will have a superpower. You can have a beautiful car, chrome all over it, but until you put gas in it, it ain't worth nothing. Until you turn that key and give it the gas, it is nothing. So there's that superpower that we must have. And in closing, you know, I have been around a lot of different people in my life. And one of the great men was Oral Roberts, came to our church. He came 2 weeks before he went to be with the Lord. He said, I wanted to meet I think I got some books back there. I want to meet the author of those books. He came from California to release the new president of ORU. And then that Sunday, he came to our little church. And this little church called Morningstar Evangelistic Center, Church of All Nations, has many prophets come there. You name them, they've been there. Because there's a peace of God that's on that land. When you walk upon that land, because we've had thousands of prayer warriors of prayer, praying over that land. We constantly pray over that land to keep the peace, to maintain the peace over that land. We've had stars, movie stars come there. One time we had a lady that came in the last, and she was sitting at the back, and I kept looking ahead of her. She looked familiar. And so finally I said, ma'am, would you like to stand up and introduce yourself? She said, yeah. She was from Michigan, and she just happened to be the granddaughter of David Ruffin of the Temptations. And that's the reason I kept looking at her, because she looked identically like David Ruffin. And so we do a song, me and my son and my son and my son-in-law, my grandson. We're pretty much the worship team. And so we started going, doom, 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 doom. And so we don't sing my girl, we sing my Lord. So we changed the words a little bit. Oh, she's got with the scream. And so I got to sing that. So she come running down the aisle, grabbed the mic, started singing, and bless her heart, she looked just like her grandfather. But she couldn't sing like her grandfather. You ever heard of that old saying, you can't carry a tune in a bucket? This was a barrel. I could not believe that. I could not believe it. So we have all kinds of people to come there, prophets and just different people. You know, it's hard for someone that's very well-known on TV to just come into church and sit down and listen to the word. Because immediately they're going to usher you up to the front. They're going to ask you to say something or pray something or do something, because they're all excited that you came. But we've had people come like that, and they've been on TV. They're well known, and I can mention their names. I won't, but you would know them. And they sit on the back row, and they just sit there and listen. And we don't bother them. I told the church members, you leave them alone. Don't you ask for no autograph or taking pictures or anything like that. You just let them sit. It's hard for people like that to find a place to just rest in peace, to be fed by the Word of God, because they're always the feeders. And so this is a place like that. And let me close with this, because it's so key that we understand the power of forgiveness. Now, the last thing I want to mention here is the seventh thing, is we have, when you have the forgiveness comes into your heart, into your spirit, it releases that authority that you carry in the kingdom of God. Now, the First Nation people, they have governmental authority. Now, you may have other kinds of authority, and that's good. There's six defilements that defile the land. Number one is innocent bloodshed. Number two is broken covenants. Number three is immorality. Number four is idolatry. Number five is man-made boundaries. That's religious boundaries and political boundaries. That is man-made. That defiles the land. The last one is the burial of the gifts. Every one of you have a gift here tonight. And if you're not using that gift, it defiles the land. And that's powerful. That's huge. When you carry a gift and you're not using it, it reminds me of this story. I think it was a dream. And in this dream, there was an old pastor. And God woke him up early in the morning and told him to go to the cemetery. And being an elder pastor and very faithful to God, he didn't argue with God, say, why do I need to go to the cemetery or anything like that. He just went. And when he got to the cemetery, the sun began to rise, and immediately he hit his knees and began to weep uncontrollably. A young boy come walking by, seen the old man, crying uncontrollably, and he went and patted him on the shoulder and said, "You must have lost a loved one. We've all lost loved ones. I know how that feels." The old man shook his head. He said, "No, I've lost no one here. I know no one here." The young boy said, "Why are you crying?" "Because the Lord sent me here this morning. And when the sun began to rise, he revealed all the beautiful gifts that never was used." The old man and old woman that sit on the front row every Sunday, no one called upon their gifts. The young man, the young woman, no one ever called upon their gifts because they was too young. The little babies, they never had the opportunity to use their gifts. That defiles the land, people. That defiles the land. I want you to stand. I want to say a prayer, if I may. And I want you to repeat this after me. Are you going to play the flute? Good. Excellent. You heard God. You don't ever break covenants, people. And when we don't use our gifts and callings, we break covenant with God. Because he gave you that gift to use. If you're here tonight and I'm speaking to some people and you never use your gifts, maybe you're afraid or ashamed, or maybe no one's ever called upon your gift. You're waiting on someone to point you out and to use your gifts. Irregardless, you're defiling the land when you don't use the gifts. And that's the reason the earth, the land, cannot produce, because you won't use your gifts. It's not because some horrifying spirit. It's because of you. I pray this. Heavenly Father, I believe that the earth will bless me. The land will bless me. I'm not an enemy of the land. I'm a friend to this land. The land will bless me. This land will help me. I have a covenant relationship through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that the prosperity and the wealth of the land will come into my hands. In the name of Jesus, I pray for this nation. And I pray for the nation in the days to come, that the leaders of this nation will understand that you are the creator of this land and will come under the covenant of the land. And I pray that this land will come under God's covenant. And I pray that all covenant violations will come. I speak the land to release its increase. Say that again. I speak to the land to release its increase. I pray that the nation will come under the covenant of the land of God. I command and speak to the land to bless me. Say that again. I command and speak to the land to bless me and to help me and yield its increase to me. I pray that the nation will come under this covenant with God. I am a child of God. I am a friend of God. I speak to the land. I release the blessings of the land to pastors, to people, to prophets, to apostles, to teachers, that the land will yield its increase. That the land will yield its increase to all nations, to all tribes, to all people. That the land will release its increase, will release its increase. And some of you need a lot of increase. Some of you need to be blessed. Some of you need a financial blessing. Some of you need, you know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. In the name of Yeshua, HaMashiach. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. I believe that was just, that word was just for you. Here in Alaska, you're going to have to get ready to release. You're going to have to get the land right. You need to pray to the land. You need to speak to the land. A lot of people don't speak to the land. They think you're crazy, I guess. But I speak to the land all the time. You know how I say hello to the earth? I kneel down and taste it. I give it a kiss. And mama gives me a kiss back. Hello. Good morning. How you doing today? How you feeling today? My, you're beautiful. My, you're beautiful. You're like a river that gives me life. And without you, I cannot exist. Without you, I cannot exist. Everybody say that. You're like a river that gives me life. And without you, I cannot exist. Now give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen.
Come on, Alaska. Let out a shout. Clap your hands. I'm going to say this to my wife first. Darling, you are a river of life. And without you, I cannot exist. But you know, Alaska, you are a river of life. And without you, I cannot exist. Go ahead and just have a seat for a second. Because we're going to close this thing up. But you know what? If you could feel the gravity of the words that were spoken here tonight. Depth of the Spirit. It's an apostolic spirit, an apostolic release. And will you stand up and take your place? Because if we're going to unite together and become a superpower, we must stand up together and take our place. We must release the gifts inside of us. We must go forth and prophesy the word of the Lord to the land. We can prophesy to the land and we can prophesy to the people of the land. The word of the Lord. And you know, I heard the word tonight. And when I'm going about and I teach youth, I teach men, and I say, you know, my papa used to say this. My father used to say this. and we're carrying on what they passed on to us. And our parents, not all of our parents, have been in that a good, loving place. But not everything that they did was terrible. There were some good things there. And let's just take a minute. Say, Papa, Daddy, Mama, Mother, I ask you to forgive me for holding things in my heart against you. And I ask, and I forgive you for holding things against you. I release you now, wherever you are, to the fullness of God and all that He's created you for, and what He's released through you in me. In Jesus' name. You know, tonight we've received long life. Did you hear it? Long life has been released. Abundant life. And listen to this. Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We're going to rise up in our place. Our youth is being renewed like the eagles. And Alaska is releasing forgiveness to the land. It's releasing forgiveness. It's releasing out, coming out of Alaska. And we embrace that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew. It's hard to close this thing out. There's something going on here. There's something going on here. It's hard to close this thing out.
I see this. This is an act that you need to complete and do. Is the worship team here still here? Play, okay. I believe you need to, there's those that need to ask for forgiveness. That Satan is wanting to harbor that into you so you won't be used. And believe me, God needs you right now. I want you to stand, and I want you to come. If that's you, and I think we all could just do that. I see, and I don't know, I see, do we have a veil that we can use, that they can walk under, the veil of miraculous. And I want them to, I want you to come. I don't know which direction here, but we'll start with this section here. And you will walk under this veil. And it's called the veil of the miraculous. Veil of miraculous is miracles. You have to go underneath this. We need one more to hold that up, probably. Somebody. And so I want you to come just like this and just release. When you go under the veil of Heracles, this unforgiveness is being pulled off of you. Not that you have to cry out or anything. It will be pulled out of you. I see this veil of just being pulling things. So let's come this way. Start with this side first. And just come and release that.